Right, let's turn to VAT next. And yesterday, when I had a quick look at this all, it looked pretty straightforward. But then when I got home and started looking through the HMRC website, there were some quite interesting bits on it. The first, of course, is the registration. We mentioned that a couple of times, so I won't talk about that. I love the word they use for that, the revalorization of registration limits. That does make me laugh. But anyway, we've also got, I'm going to use the word again, I can't resist it, revalorization of the fuel scale charges. And of course, we get that, and those are from accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of May. But then, and this is the most interesting bit of the lot, and quite a bit here actually for AAT members, is what they called in a sort of, you know, kind of sublime treasury language that they use, addressing borderline anomalies. And when I first looked at that, I thought, well, was that something to do with international trade, moving services across boundaries? But actually it's not. It's just that there's a lot of bits in the VAT tax canon that are a bit uneven. And there are three that I think are potentially of interest to AAT members. The first is the decision by HMRC to introduce VAT to alterations of listed buildings. Now, it's something we very occasionally make reference to, because you can zero rate. It's one of those kind of valuable construction things. It's not just building new builds, you know, the kind of Taylor Wimpey stuff, but it's also doing permitted alterations to effectively listed dwellings. But it's never covered repairs. And there's always been that sort of tightrope to walk. Are you actually repairing something in a listed dwelling, or are you actually altering it? A repair would be 20%, an alteration would be zero. And that's really what the Chancellor's having a bash at when he talks about addressing borderline anomalies. He's simply saying that these are too close to call, and therefore, rather than bringing repairs back down to zero, which of course is what all the heritage people want, he's actually moved it the other way to get some more money in the coffers. Remember, VAT is a very important contributor to the Exchequer at around about £102 billion per annum, just behind National Insurance, as we said earlier, which is of itself about 106. So that's the first one there. But the other thing is what I'm calling a Greggs moment, because Greggs the bakery have mightily complained about this. And this is the issue of hot food, hot takeaway food. Now, if you remember, the way that it works is that if you are, I don't know, a cafe or a takeaway outfit or whatever it is, and you sell takeaway hot food, then the very general rule is that that's standard rated. So if you sell takeaway Indian, takeaway Chinese, takeaway fish and chips, whatever it is, those are going to be VAT standard rated. No question about that. Remember, that's not catering. It's taking away food. Now, what we've also got is a sort of very grey area where food has been cooked and it's on its way to being cold. And classically, this would be pasties, sausage rolls, etc., sold out of Greggs. I like Greggs, actually. I like walking along the street and suddenly you get that lovely sniff. Oh, gosh, I'm hungry. Anyway, they're up in arms about that, because the pasties that come out of the oven and are sold actually hot, but they're on their way to being cold because you can just as easily eat them cold. They're the ones that are in this firing line now. And it's going to have effect from, as far as I can see, the 1st of October 2012. So it does two things, these new proposals. The first is to say that these pasties that are on their way to being cold are going to be treated alongside all of the other standard rated hot food stuff. So that means your rotisserie chicken, that means your pasties, that means your sausage rolls in the hot cabinet, they've got to be standard rated. And the only exception to that is actually going to be freshly baked bread. I think you touch bread at your peril, don't you, in political terms, because we must all have our daily bread. So with the exception of freshly baked bread, then all of these kind of grey areas are going to be standardised. And it also is going to have a look at and redefine the notion of premises. Because if you remember, we've often talked about, what happens if you sell something cold like a sandwich and somebody goes outside your cafe in a shopping mall and sits on the pavement there, on the terrace, in tables and chairs that are there for that purpose. Is that part of your premises? Because if you sell something that is a sandwich that's eaten off the premises, that's zero rated. And if you have that same sandwich inside the cafe, then that is catering and that's going to be standard rated. So this is just going to have a go at some of these odd areas. Okay, that's the hot food and premises one, and Greggs have promised to take the battle to the government. No doubt they'll be outside number 11 shying pasties at the Chancellor. Okay, the next one, of course, which does affect quite a lot of our clients, is the VAT treatment of chair rental. And we've often talked about supplies in land. So the basic rule, if you'll recall, is that anything to do with land is exempt for VAT purposes. So it's exempted from the charge, but associated input tax is not recoverable. That's the basic rule. So how does that work for chair rental then? Well, you've got the owner of the salon who then rents chair space to the self-employed stylist, and our members will act for both sides of that transaction. And there's always the issue as to what's the VAT treatment of the chair rent. It can be exempt provided it's genuinely an interest in land, but most open plan salons, as we've discussed in the past, can't use that and they've got to be standard rated. And because it's never really quite clear, then Revenue and Customs, again from the 1st of October 2012, are saying whatever it is, a chair rent is going to be standard rated. And that's going to be the end of that one. So that at least adds a bit of clarity to it, because I'm always nervous when I see that and people say, oh yeah, I don't charge VAT on a chair rent. And I'm saying, are you sure that's right? Tell me about the details. And quite often as not, they're actually got the treatment wrong. So there you go, a little bit on chair rental. I think that will have some appeal to our members. Right, well, that's as much as I'm going to say about that. I'm going to move on to my next section now.